grass, ganja, joint, doobie, doo, chronic, ace, lobo, loco, loveboat, bud, buddha, blunt, pot, pat, pin, chiba, chiba, 420, and hashish, or hash for short. It's all marijuana.
This is Marijuana Media.
Come here, man.
Brought to you by The Hemp Store at 253 K Road or shop online at hempstore.co.nz.
Do it, man.
Happy Halloween, Chris.
Happy Halloween, Millie. And to everyone else out there.
And to the listeners, happy Halloween.
Love it. Tonight, in fact, is the Halloween party at Whakamana, the Cannabis Museum, just behind the hemp store on Beresford. And it's on right now, in fact. prizes for best costume, which might be Willie Nelson, or it might be a big spliffy joint.
If someone dressed up as a big spliffy joint, that would make my year.
That would be awesome. You could go dressed as a dab rig. A roach?
What? A roach.
Big bud.
A massive bud.
Oh, look. I found that.
In it. Oh, on the ground outside.
Somewhere. Yeah, I have no idea where that came from.
Oh,
it smells so much. It's all sealed up in a baggie.
It smells beautiful. It's permeating, one could say.
So that is your cue, listeners, to get in the right mindset, because it's 420.
Yep. Get in the headspace.
And it's Marijuana Media. And there's lots of good media this week, in fact.
Really good media. And a lot of good news, I've noticed.
Oh, well, we like that. We try. We try. Sometimes it's not always. But this actually, I was racking my brain cells. Was this the New Zealand Herald's most pro-reform editorial ever? I think it might have been. I think this was more than during the referendum, even, when they were a little bit... both ways, you know. This is the Herald's editorial, I think, was this Tuesday, I think? Police resources are stretched. Is it time to rethink our cannabis laws?
Yep.
I think you know the answer to that.
Well, I think it's yes.
Interesting thing about this is not only what they say, but it's in response to the raid of last week, which was what they called a upmarket multi-million dollar Ōraki property.
Yeah.
You could pretty much pick any house in Auckland and say it was multi-million. Well, most of them.
Most of them.
That might be a statement on property values more than anything. But for some reason, they're surprised that even in a so-called affluent suburb that people might grow cannabis.
And there you go. I mean, how big was the bust?
Well, it was the entire house converted.
There you go.
I think it was hundreds of plants. And the landlord said, totally surprised, had no idea. And I think what made it for the Herald was they got to be outside when they were pulling all the cannabis out.
Oh.
And it did look like quite a bit.
It's a fair bit.
It's just one grow house in Auckland.
True. There's
and there'll be many more.
Many more.
These sort of raids have never made a dent in the supply. And if they do, the price temporarily goes up and then more people start doing it.
So
it's kind of self-defeating, really. If the police were thinking right, they'd encourage a glut of cannabis, crash the market with really cheap prices, and a whole bunch of people would stop.
It's not worth it anymore. Yeah. I think it's really interesting because the police being kind of overstretched, the Herald's point is that, you know, is it time to think about doing every raid and everything they can in their power to stop, you know, the supply or growing of cannabis? And I think it is time to rethink that.
I think so too.
There's big issues, and we live in a little bit of a crazy world these days.
They do. Well, what they say, violent crime on the rise, police resources stretched. So is busting cannabis operations the best use? And they do acknowledge it's a complex debate, lots of different things for or against. But as they say, it's hard to ignore mounting challenges facing a police workforce beleaguered by recruitment challenges, the lure of Australia for better conditions money, and an ageing workforce.
Which
I guess they're implying there that why would a young person want to join the police if that's what they're told to go around doing?
Yeah.
You know, they probably join the police to make New Zealand safer. And, is doing cannabis raids achieving that?
And also, I think a lot of people, you know, because they care about other people's welfare, whereas, like, is this really that harmful?
Exactly.
It's the question.
And as they say, this would let the police channel their efforts into if we decriminalised or regulated, channel their efforts into tackling serious crime.
Yep.
Reallocating resources from cannabis enforcement could mean greater safety and smarter justice.
There you go.
Can't argue with that.
No, there's no argument against that.
I think we've even found a new slogan for the next referendum. Legalise, or vote yes, for greater safety and smarter justice.
There you go.
Thanks, Harold.
Thanks, Harold.
If only you'd said that 4 years ago. Yeah.
Yep. Would have been great.
And they further say, this Iraqi raid reminds us the current approach to cannabis is increasingly out of step with the realities on the ground. As long as police continue prioritising cannabis, we're left wondering, are we truly making the best use of our police resources?
Yeah. I mean, it's not even a question, is it? It's not a great use.
And I think on the ground, most police have already made that decision. They're not looking for it. It's certainly our experience up on K Road.
Yeah.
They're not looking for it at all. They're not arresting anyone for it.
No.
You still wouldn't necessarily want to go up and blow smoke in their face. That could annoy them. I wouldn't want anyone to do that to me either. So, still be polite. Be polite and respectful, but they're not looking for it. Whereas the bosses, or at least the criminal investigation branch, which I presume would be behind these raids, they still are prioritising it.
Really interesting, so much robbery out there as well, but every time I've been robbed, you go to the cops and they're like, oh.
Can't send anyone.
Well, that's a shame.
Yeah. There was, in the Herald, there was a thing about, there's all, every day you see that, where the crimes are being unattended to, so. Yeah, it seems like a bit of a no-brainer, doesn't it?
Hopefully we see a downturn in that.
One of the really interesting things was this editorial really was in response to comments left on their social media pages. So we thank you, listeners, and other members of the public.
Yes.
Getting on, and that, it turns out that does actually make a difference. So they put out a story, and then all these people that piled on and said, what a load of bollocks, this is such a waste of time, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
They obviously follow all that and read it,
and
it's provoked this editorial.
Oh, there you go. It means more than you think.
Yes.
What you say.
You can actually make a difference.
Get out there, people. Get those fingers on the keyboard.
That's right.
Keyboard warrior
today.
Time.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. So well done, Harold. That's some very good news that they're on the side of reform now.
Good,
very good.
Stuff.
Radio New Zealand. Continuing on the study we've covered the last couple of weeks, where they, the Marta Reichert and Chris Wilkins at Massey Uni, and they did a study on the medical cannabis sector, and found a lot of improvements to patient access, but a lot of their concerns, which if you read the paper like I have, the concerns are pretty minor in comparison to the benefits.
Yeah.
And they're quite clear in the paper that they're just speculating, and they don't really know or have any evidence of any concerns, but just maybe. And of course, some of the media have just taken it and made that the headlines, like, health sector raises concerns. And it's like, well, they're not doctors. They're not in the health sector. They're
researchers.
Yeah, they're researchers.
Yeah, they're.
And, but they're not in the health sector. But Radio New Zealand continued this with and to their credit, they did interview Afraz Adam, Chief Medical Officer of CannaPlus. And they also spoke to Marta Reichert, who did the study. And you can listen to that on the Radio New Zealand site if you want to. But one of the things that they're responding to in this coverage is again, and I suspect this was a misquote. They have Marta Reichert, the chief researcher, saying that the products now are stronger than what's clinically needed, that maybe you only need a 3%, which, by the way, is strong hemp, I would call that. Certainly not anything that anyone smoked since about the 30s. So we could go back 100 years into our hemp days and have some of that. I think maybe that was a misreport. And she said, she was also quoted as saying, the products that are available now are not what people expect, or not what they think of when they think of medical cannabis, and not what you have overseas. But of course, the products are all imports, so clearly they are what people have overseas.
It's from overseas.
Yeah, and if you go overseas, you can get like dabs on medical. You can have like 90 to 100% THC products just buying it in a shop, let alone being prescribed by a doctor. So
right.
What you get overseas is actually significantly stronger than what is available here.
I think what they've done is they've taken, you know, some pretty well-rounded research. You know, it's not research if you only highlight the positives and ignore the negatives.
Mm.
And they've just blown up, you know, here's a couple of things that might, you know, be a bit of a negative.
Yeah.
Blow them up in big font and put them right on the front of the paper.
Yeah, yeah. It's like they think that's balance, is rather than saying, well, the researcher found a whole bunch of positive things and a few negatives, let's just talk about the negatives and call that balance.
Make it a whole article.
Yeah. So, yeah, again, you can hear that on the Radio New Zealand and make up your mind. And the study itself is in the New Zealand Medical Journal, free access. You can just download it and read it.
Nice. There you go.
Yeah, so that was good. And then also, in other medical news, this was quite interesting. Ngāi Tahu is seeing green with a confirmed financial investment into Marlborough-based company Puro. And that's pretty significant, I think.
That's really significant.
And they're hoping to get involved with the cultivation, use some of their iwi land as well, and also regional development and jobs and things like that. All positive stuff.
Cool.
Very good. What I'm really looking forward to is the result of Puro's $13 million grant from MB. Ministry of Primary Industries Sustainable Food and Fibre Futures Fund. There's a lot of Fs there.
A lot of Fs.
In 2022, they gave Puro $13 million to develop a grow book and some industry standards. And I don't know if anyone needs a grow book, because there are plenty out there already. We sell them at the hemp store.
There's a lot.
And the industry standards are dictated by the medical cannabis scheme. It tells you what to do. So right. I'm kind of looking forward to what they get out of it, or what we get as an industry. They were the only company to receive any money in that grant. Every other grant, it's the second biggest grant in the entire country.
That's a lot of money.
The only one bigger was the... it was the nutrient cycle of New Zealand, that is like the entire biosphere and where things come and go with all the farming and impacts of people. Like this entire, that's the only thing that got more money than anything of all the other things they give out grants to. So it was the second biggest grant, and it just went to one company. And every other recipient was a consortium of universities and research institutes and a few companies. So it certainly raised a few eyebrows in the medical cannabis sector, where no one else got involved in that and no university is involved in it. So it'll be very interesting to see what they actually come up with. Hopefully it's a good grow book, eh?
Very interesting.
Tell us how to grow cannabis, because clearly, as the people of Ōrākei have shown, you know, apparently no one does it. And
it might come out and be, like, totally plated in gold.
It might be.
With that much money on the go.
It might reveal something new. It might. We'll give them the benefit of the doubt until we see it. And surely it's done for everyone's benefit, and it will all be open and we'll all get access to it. Because it was a public grant.
Do you think the iwi partnership will kind of improve what we were talking about last week, where, you know, Māori and Pacific Island people are overrepresented in arrests, yet underrepresented in accessing clinical medicinal marijuana?
Well, I don't think it's going to affect the first bit, because that's really the police with I guess that there's some inherent bias that isn't necessarily deliberate, or it might be in individual cases, but when you leave, as we've said many times, when you leave it up to police discretion, then this is the kind of thing that can happen. Each individual cop can make that decision, and rather than having a clear guideline of just saying, well, you know, if it's, say, the amount that's defined as personal in the Misuse of Drugs Act is under 28 grams or under 10 plants, it'd be very easy to just say that and just go, right, we're just going to leave you alone if it's that.
Easy peasy.
And that would give guidance to the police too. It would mean that they're not kind of making it up on the spot and going, what do I do here? Mm. And actually, if I've read their guidance on it, their own internal police document, which again, you can just find on the internet. They do make it available now. And there's a big complicated flowchart. And it very much makes it clear to that officer that they should not do it. And if they go forward with the arrest, it outlines all this paperwork and stuff they're going to have to do. And
but sounds again, like a headache.
But it doesn't just have a clear guideline like that, like saying under 28 grams or 10 plants. It could just say that, but it doesn't.
Exactly.
I don't know if it'll help with that, but it will certainly help. I'd like to say it will help with improving access, hopefully.
Cool.
Hopefully.
Yay.
Yeah.
Speaking of headaches, we've got this article here.
This was odd.
What to expect when you stop smoking weed for some reason.
And so this is Re News and One News, which I guess is the same thing. What to expect when you stop smoking weed? I've got the summary, which is you get these pretty severe withdrawals, hot and cold chills, nausea and vomiting.
Oh!
That's what they said at first. And then Ben Anks from the NZ Drug Foundation said, well, actually, mild for most people, but it can be more pronounced for daily users. I will disclaimer. What is the right word with that? I haven't had any cannabis for a month. I'm just letting anyone a secret. I've been on a bit of a tolerance break,
which is good to take.
So I can speak from personal experience as someone who has smoked or consumed cannabis pretty much daily for 30 years or so, and with a few breaks and things. But
how'd it go?
No problem at all.
How are you feeling?
But that's just me. That's just me. Could be different to everyone. But I honestly did not have a single withdrawal of anything that I could put my... like, absolutely nothing.
I think it's really good with anything in life to take a little break, you know.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I think even work or, like, you know, things that you do in your life daily, it's good to, like, take a step back and be like, is that necessary? What am I doing wrong or right? You know, in that sphere of my world.
Mm.
So good on you.
That's right. Yeah. And good on anyone who, if they don't want to do it anymore, they want to take a break, give it a go. And if you are one of those few people who has the pronounced effects, contact the Drug Foundation or Drug Helpline. They can give you some good tips.
Good stuff.
Generally, it's just about, you know, looking after yourself and having some relaxed few days and
yeah,
a bit more sleep maybe.
Yeah, just powering through it, I guess. So Halloween's on tonight.
Yes.
What else is on?
So that's at the Whakamana at Halloween. I love that. And tomorrow we have the doctors at the Hemp Store, Access Cannabis, 12 to 4:20, Friday and Saturday. Just come on down, get your script if that's what you need or you think it might help. And next Thursday, substance checking at the Hemp Store because it's first Thursday, next Thursday. So all of K Road has its thing. And then J-Day coming up 7th of December.
Nice.
Albert Park. That is going to be awesome. Getting a lot of inquiries and things about that.
Okay.
And then just before we go, just a shout out to Simon Court, ACT MP.
Yes.
He was my buddy when we were at uni here. And this has come out in the media, so I don't feel any it's not revealing a secret. But
exactly.
He was a victim of prohibition. He went to go get some cannabis up north and the guy shot him in the foot with a gun.
Ow.
And then he came back to uni with this huge foot, you know, and we were like, what the hell? And didn't really believe him. Like, are you serious? And it does happen. It happens.
Oh my God.
He actually went up north to get some cannabis and got shot over it and ripped off.
That's terrifying.
Yes. So Simon's just put in a bill, and as a fellow Westie, I fully support this, scrapping the West Auckland Alcohol Licensing Trust monopolies.
Yes.
Treat Westies like adults.
Yeah, it's always confused me. As a kind of sub-West Aucklander, kind of half-time West Aucklander.
It's a funny thing, because
it's always confused me.
On paper it sounds good, put all your profits back into the community, and that's a great thing. And that was what I was advocating for the referendum model. We should have that kind of thing where the profits go back into the communities they're helping. You've got to have some little profit for the business operator to give them an incentive. But the interesting thing about the West Auckland Trust is that the profits they give back... A, are less than what they pay the board. They pay themselves way more. This is just the top executives get paid way more than what they give out to charity. And then secondly, it comes from their pokies. It does not come from the alcohol. They manage to either break even or lose money on the alcohol. And you've got a monopoly of 300,000 people and they can't even make any money off it. And yet we pay higher prices. It makes no sense.
Well.
So yeah, they're very inefficient. But the pokey, no matter who runs the pokies, they have to give it back. So that in itself is not an argument. But
let's keep an eye on that for development.
Yeah, and I was urging them that they could actually take over, you know, put in an application to the government and say, can we run cannabis for West Auckland too?
There you go. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Chris. Massive shout out to the Hemp Store. Go there and sort yourself out, people. And yeah, that's it for Halloween.
Do it, man.
That was Marijuana Media.
To the Hemp Store. Visit them at 253 K Road or shop online at hempstore.co.nz. I'm a